This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are joined by Dr. Douglas S. Steinbrech of Male Plastic Surgery, New York City and L.A., who is a double board certified plastic surgeon. Dr. Steinbrech's New York City practice specializes in cosmetic procedures customized for men, including both surgical and non-surgical options. His passion for male plastic surgery led him to establish the Institute of Male Plastic Surgery in early 2016, which will provide an educational foundation for current and future physicians to learn about and help further this subspecialty. Dr. Steinbrech is one of a very few surgeons in the U.S. that has a practice that focuses on procedures that are most important to men. Dr. Steinbrech, a pleasure to have you with us today here on eHealth Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's really great to be here. I look forward to our conversation.
Yes, sir, and looking forward to it as well. So for starters, get into why the rise in male plastic surgery today.
Yeah, you know, I think most of it has to do with that men realize now, especially in the selfie era and the era of social media, that men have to look good. And the other thing is men are doing it now more than ever for jobs, because after the dot-com hit way back in 97, it's just been continually increasing. And it's been increasing because when all of these Silicon Valley guys came along and they were wearing hoodies, the Zuckerbergs and the Facebook guys and the Twitters and the Snapchat guys, all these guys are under 30. And now suddenly everything has gone to be more youthful. So that has created pressure from people who are either in their 40s, 50s, 60s to be competitive, not just in their everyday sales job, but in the boardroom, because many times these CEOs are in their 20s and 30s. And so when they see a guy who's a little bit older, a little bit of gray, and a wrinkle or two here or there, then it becomes a little bit tougher for those guys. And those guys want to stay competitive in the environment. And the second thing is if you've looked at your Instagram account lately, you've seen a lot of abs. Guys are looking to be more chiseled than ever before. And they want to be chiseled both in their abs and their body, as well in their face. And in the face, we're seeing, this is the third motivating factor. We're seeing, if you've noticed, over the last 10 years, how many movies have you been to or have you seen being promoted that are superhero movies? These guys have chiseled cheekbones and chiseled jawlines. And the whole aesthetic has moved more to a more chiseled masculine appearance for both the face and also all these Instagram abs that you're seeing for a very chiseled, lean look. And that's created all of this movement into male plastic surgery.
And most helpful explanation there. Now, how did you know to capitalize on this wave?
It just was really organic. I mean, I came from Iowa, and I've been in New York since right around before 2000. And when I came to New York, I noticed that there are a lot of men here, and I noticed that there are a lot of men that, for business reasons, either they could be a model or an actor in New York, or they, like I was saying before, they just want to be more competitive in the boardroom. Or also there are a lot of guys in the gyms in New York that wanted to stay healthy and look good. For all those reasons, I just noticed that I started having a lot of men in my practice. And I really owe it to my patient, my office manager. Her name is Bernadette Mahoney. And she said, "Dr. Steinbrech, I've noticed you have so many men on this. How come no plastic surgeons are educating these people on the internet?" And it's really sad, because plastic surgeons in general had not noticed that men existed. And we've been taught in training that male patients, and this is a dirty little secret, the male patients are bad patients. They're difficult patients. They don't follow directions. They don't know what they want. So we in our training as plastic and particularly aesthetic plastic surgeons, we're always sort of trained to have this idea that men to stay away from men. And so that's what we all do psychologically and subconsciously when we make our practices. And what do all plastic surgeons want to do? They want to be the facelift guy of New York for women. They want to be the body, the breast augmentation and the tummy tuck guy for women. They don't think that there's anything. And my patient coordinator, my staff manager, she said, you know what, there's something to this. And she made me put together a website. And it just in educating men and talking to men and making them realize and finding out what their concerns were, and then trying to fix a way to help the concerns, for me has been just completely transformed my practice. And there's so many areas and techniques. It's really, really the Wild West, and it's my blue ocean, where I found an area that very little practitioners have gone to treat. And I've found an area where there are so many unanswered questions, there's so many things that need to be fixed, and there's so many techniques that can be figured out and have never been figured out before. I'm just having the time of my life doing that. And it's been such a great area for me that I cut and pasted it to LA, and we'll talk about that later. But I've just really enjoyed it.
Let's get into some of the common procedures. What are common male plastic surgery procedures?
Yeah, the best way to understand that is I divide up my men into different male types. Now, women don't like it so much when you say, oh, this one's the dumb blonde and this one's the smarty pants and this one's – women don't like that. And I get that, because women don't like to be pigeonholed and they don't like to be targeted. But men are slightly different. Men just want to have – they just want to know exactly where they stand. And men are in very different sort of general categories, and it's just much easier for them to communicate if they immediately identify themselves as what type they are, because based on that – I call it iconotype – based on that type, then we can quickly determine what are the procedures that most suit them. And so I've divided – my website into five different types, which I'll go over briefly. The first one is the male model. And in LA, it's a male actor, because there's a lot of actors and models out there. So that is a guy who's younger and a guy who is usually in his 20s or maybe 30s. And it's a guy who is an actor or a model who looks great, but there's just one little thing that needs to be tweaked. It's not only a model, though. There are many people that just have a regular job but aspire to look as close to or that they could be a model as possible. So there are a lot of regular Joes out there who are working a regular job, but they could look like a model, or they could look just in general be better looking if they're a slightly more chiseled jawline. So for these guys, what we do is they're very fit, they go to their gym, but they're interested in more abdominal contouring. They may be interested into some kind of augmentation, either with fat or an implant to their chest, to their biceps. And also for their face, they're more interested in maybe having a higher cheekbone, a more chiseled jawline, which we can do with implants or with fillers. A lot of these guys have a weak chin. If they have a stronger chin, they'll get that movie role that they need. They'll get that. I can turn a guy who's a model for a magazine inside the magazine, turn him into a cover guy. And the same thing with the trainers. We can turn the trainers in a lot. We have a lot of trainers in New York and LA, and they're already ripped. But people expect to have a chiseled jawline that matches those ripped abs. So what we'll do is we'll create that chiseled jawline either with implants or with injectables. Now, that's the first guy. The second guy is what I call the bodybuilder, and that's obvious. That's a guy who is he's a gym rat. he's in amazing shape, but he's reached his genetic potential in one area or another. And a lot of these guys can build these huge shoulders, these big biceps, but they're having problems, particularly with pec development, or their abs aren't quite as defined. For those people, we can do liposuction around their flanks, their love handles, and then I can augment those areas that they're having problems with. If they're really having problems with the pecs, we can do a pec implant that slides underneath the armpit through a hinge incision and goes in through the pec implant underneath the muscle. And then for glutes, we can do a tiny incision. We can slide in some silicone glute implant, or we can do a thing that I call body banking that I'll talk about later, which is moving the fat to the other areas. The third patient, the third iconotype that we have, is a patient who is just the regular dad, the athletic dad. And that's the guy that is in pretty good shape, was always in pretty good shape, but now he's really focused his time on his family, on his career, and he hasn't gone to the gym like he's been able to do in the past, and he needs to get kickstarted back into that. So I created a thing called the Daddy Do-Over. What the Daddy Do-Over, it's a little bit of a take on the Mommy Makeover, but what the Daddy Do-Over is the Daddy Do-Over is sculpting those abs. It's beefing up those pecs with some transferred fat from the flanks or the love handles. And then we go in, the eyes are a little bit tired, so we can snip a little bit of skin from the eyes, and we can then do a little tuck up underneath the neck, either by tightening up the skin with a neck lift, or we can use Kybella, which melts the fat underneath the skin, which is a great technique to get rid of that double chin in men. The fourth type we have is the older gentleman, CEO, and I touched on him before. He's a boardroom guy. That things are just a little bit more competitive. He's at the top of his game, but he sees the rest of the boardroom getting younger, and he wants to stay competitive, and he wants to stay looking as young as he feels. Sometimes he's on his second wife, and she is very young, and he wants to stay young as he on the outside as he feels on the inside. So for these guys, we work on their eyes. We may do a neck lift. In California, all these guys are getting facelifts because natural-looking facelifts, not bad facelifts, natural-looking facelifts where they can feel good and feel as young as they look and as fit as they are. And the final type is the biggest winner. It's a take on the biggest loser because I feel it's actually a winner, the person that's lost all that weight, 100, 200 pounds. I saw three patients today. Each one of them lost over 150 pounds, more than half of themselves. And for them, what we do is we do a circumferential body lift. We also do a thing that I call a Speedo tuck. And what that is you keep the incision low, you keep it underneath the swimsuit, which they don't do for women. For women, they keep it high like they're in a one-piece from the 80s, high on the thigh. No man wants that. He wants a low incision, so we keep that underneath the Speedo. And we take some of the tissue and we rotate it down into your glutes so your glutes pop and look good in a swimsuit and you look thinner, and we snip up all that skin all the way around. So those are the five iconotypes. That's our whirlwind tour of the different types and the different procedures for each one of those patients.
A fine job in breaking that down today. We are visiting with Dr. Douglas S. Steinbrech of Male Plastic Surgery, New York City and L.A., who is a double board certified plastic surgeon here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Dr. Steinbrech, why are you so passionate about men's aesthetics?
You know, I'm passionate about because I really, really enjoy, number one, I enjoy being in my blue ocean where so few of these techniques have been figured out, that people don't really, doctors have never been trained on what to do. They don't know how to do silicone abs. They've never done silicone abs before. They've never even heard of that procedure. When I go on one of the question and answer, it's called Real Stuff, one of the question and answer websites about it, all 10 responses are, you should go to the gym. This has never happened before. We can do some abdominal etching. All the plastic surgeons do that. That's completely not true. Now I developed a technique where I make small little implants that tuck into all of the pockets of either a six-pack or an eight-pack, and I have a YouTube video that shows it. I can create very naturally sculpted looking abs that move naturally with your abdominal muscles. So that's the magic, and that's why I'm so passionate about men, is I'm doing these new procedures. And you know why I'm doing them? I'm doing them because people ask, how do I do it? I've never seen an implant in the forearm. I've never seen anyone put in a journal article. I've never seen in a textbook. One day someone came to me and he said, I need bigger forearms. So I looked in my anatomy book. I looked at the anatomy. I know the anatomy clearly because in my reconstructive days, I used to reattach arms. I used to reattach wrists. I used to reattach fingers. So I know that anatomy quite well. So someone said, I need to put an implant. So I figured out the best incisions. I figured out the best way to slip it in a pocket. And I did it. And now we have that on our website. And now we offer those procedures to men. Same thing with shoulder implants, with latissimus implants, with a different approach for gluteal implants, for calf implants. All these areas, a lot of these areas are areas that have never even been touched before, particularly for men. So I love that. And I also love when patients come and they see our before and afters, they see the vast array of before and after photos we have so deep in so many areas that are only specific men. I really like that feeling where they feel like they're in the right place. And I have such an amazing staff that my staff really understands the specialized work I do, and they really communicate well with the patient. So for all those reasons, and you know the other thing, it really was a bug in my buns that the people always said that men were bad patients. And I went out of my way to prove that that's wrong. There's a thing called SIMON. They say men go by the acronym SIMON. SIMON stands for single. It stands for immature. It stands for male. It stands for over expectations, and N for narcissistic. And basically what it was is it was a signal to say that all men are bad patients. Well, you know what? The reverse is the case. I find that they're good patients. They deserve a chance. And they've been some of my best patients. And people are people. And some either it doesn't matter what sex you are, you can be an easy patient or a little slightly more difficult patients. But I find that I really wanted to debunk that myth about men being bad patients. And if other people want to continue thinking, I go ahead and let them continue to think that. If they want to believe that, then be my guest, and I'll take the patients to my practice because I'm happy to see these guys.
And you also expanded into Los Angeles. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, after I created the men's site, it sort of blew up. And I like Southern California. My son loves California. Our family spends a lot of time in LA, so it sort of made just perfect sense to go out there. So I have an office in Beverly Hills, and it's 436 North Bedford. It's right there in the middle of the triangle, and I just made a new website, which was LA based. And I decided, let's go try it. And I didn't know if it would work, honestly, completely transparently. I didn't know how it would do, but it's done very well. And it just continues to build and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I like the California guys. They're slightly different than West Coast guys, are slightly different than East Coast guys. But the problem was, is they were all flying in from Los Angeles. And many of my patients were saying, why can't we get anyone that does this on the West Coast? And I thought it would be a really unique way to do it. And it's actually been a good thing because I have a lot of other West Coast patients. So if people are in San Diego, not just LA, but if people are in San Diego, if they're in San Francisco, if they're in Bakersfield, if they're in Arizona, if they're in Utah or Seattle, it's just easier for them to go to my West Coast office rather than flying all the way across the country. So I really enjoy it out there. And the guys are slightly different out there. So if you look at my LA website, which is maleplasticsurgeryla.com, versus my New York website, which is maleplasticsurgerynewyork.com, you're going to see some subtle differences between the two, because the West Coast guys are slightly different than the East Coast. And so my techniques and my websites show show slight differences that reflect that.
Well, Dr. Steinbrech, it certainly has been good to have had you, and with your passion and knowledge, you've certainly sold me, and not that you were trying to, but fine job, and really has been good to have had you on the program. Where can listeners, if you would, go ahead and hit those websites again and allow our listeners to get further information?
Yeah, we're a couple of different websites. So first website is maleplasticsurgerynewyork.com. The next website is maleplasticsurgerynewyork.com. The other website is maleplasticsurgeryla.com. And then I'm also going to be coming out with a textbook about male plastic surgery. I'm the editor, but we have fantastic, the best contributors from all over the world to put together this 45 chapter textbook that's coming out. And then we're going to have a layperson's book that's going to come out after that. And so it's all good. I'm excited. But the other thing is, all you have to do from anywhere in the country is just Google male plastic surgery, and my name's going to pop up. So just male plastic surgery in Google, and then you're going to see Steinbrech somewhere there. It just pops up anywhere in the country.
Good enough, Dr. Steinbrech. Again, thanks so much for your time and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Certainly wish you all the best and continued success.
Thanks so much. Appreciate having the opportunity. Good speaking with you.
And it was good to speak to you as well. We've been speaking with Dr. Douglas S. Steinbrech of Male Plastic Surgery, New York City and Los Angeles, who is a double board certified plastic surgeon. And for more details and information per location, visit maleplasticsurgerynewyork.com as well as maleplasticsurgeryla.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.